We might start with a word of prayer. Dear Lord, as we open your word, we want to stop and acknowledge this is your word again, Lord. It's your spirit that knows how to teach us, to direct us in every way. So, Lord, we pray today as we open it up that you would, by your spirit, lead and guide in everything that is said and done that would be what you desire it to be. In Jesus' name, amen. So, we have a message today, and I don't believe this is by any means. There may be some other. Okay, thank you. Put this mic on here. All right. So we have another message in the Indisputable Truth thought. And I feel like this may be the message to finish this little bit of a series right now that we've kind of been doing off and on. We've had a couple of other messages that dealt with this and spoke on some other indisputable truths. And today we want to speak, maybe I hesitate to say the final, but the final one in this group that God has given to me in this time. And that is that Jesus is the way. So we'll write this on the board. And that may be a little hard to see. I'm going to go over it with this other one. See if that works. Sorry. Jesus is the way. You know, this is a statement that you would find many, many people possibly agreeing to and then having very different thoughts about how that is manifested in our life. And we might have several thoughts about why that's so, but I think the main thought ends up being, how well do we know Jesus? If he's the way, then we need to know him. We need to know who he is. What was his heart? How did he live his life? How did he behave? And what was it that he did for us to save us? A lot of people maybe see the sacrifice on the cross and they don't delve any further into this statement that Jesus is the way than the fact that he died on a cross for us. Well, that was the moment. It is finished. It's all been done. It's completed. But if we're really going to know how that should recognize how that should be manifested in our life, we're going to have to know more than he just died on a cross for our sins. Got to know that. We must know that. We must believe that and understand that that was the sacrifice that was required for my sins. And that's part of what Jesus being the way means. But it means so much more than that. And so let's look in in the Gospel of John. And when I say this, this is the last message maybe in this group of messages that God given me. As I was, maybe the Lord was bringing this message to me, there was a lot of verses that came to mind. And then as I began to pray in the moment for the Lord to develop it for this morning, so to speak, the Lord brought it very narrowed down. My point being, in sharing that with you, that happens. That's not the only time that this has happened. But we're going to read a part of what God has given to me. And I don't know, maybe we'll share the rest. But I encourage you, whatever the case may be, to take this message this morning and spend some time thinking about it. Let God show you who Jesus was, what it means that Jesus is the way. Right, and maybe we'll have some more messages about that. Maybe this will be a message that continues on for a while, or maybe we won't. But it's all right here in the Word of God. And you can find it. You don't have to wait on next Sunday or the Sunday whenever God finally maybe comes back and gives more messages about this. You can look into it now. And if you don't, let's just say it this way, if you don't look into that, then there's a lot of application that could really help in life you to understand what God's expecting out of you and the way he expects that you're passing on There are struggles you're going to have if you don't delve into who Jesus was and what it means when it says he is the way that God could help you out with. So think about it and consider what that means. And think about the life and the things that Jesus said and did while he was here on earth and the way he behaved himself. And let God increase this in your hearts. But let's look at these verses here today. John 14. It says, we'll probably just pick up in the second verse here. And says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so we want to look at these verses this morning, but we read them all at once together for the finality of the last phrase. And to start there, it says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. The Lord help us to share. I can hear that Jesus is the way, and I can decide it means this in my life, and I can go after that with all my heart, and I can miss it. In that, there is a trap there that the devil is using and exploiting in the world in all places where people hear the name of Christ and may actually have some attention to that, is allowing them to decide what that means and just to pursue after their definition of what it means to follow Jesus. There's a verse that we've alluded to a lot in the Bible, how that seven women would take hold of one man and say, let us be called by your name, but let us wear our own apparel. That is a manifestation. That verse is a prophecy of what I'm talking about. And what I'm talking about is a manifestation of that verse, where people take the name of Jesus and they take their decision about what that means, and they pursue after that. And wherever you are, whatever congregation you're in, whatever the name is over that doorway, and if you never go in a church, that is a trap that Satan is using to make people think everything's okay. And there's problems. There may even be a life that has never really truly been born again, because they have not pursued what it means that Jesus is the way. There's a verse in the Bible that says, if the light that is in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? This is where that kind of darkness comes from in people's life. For whatever reason they did, maybe they wanted to cling to their own ways. Maybe they wanted to not be bothered with having to delve further into what that means. Maybe the things were too busy in their life. We have the whole passage of the parable of the sower that we can look into and see, why is it that people do that? Well, it's pretty much all contained in those parables there. And we can look at it and decide, Lord, help me not to be like these other things. Because they are what put people in a position where they've taken the name of Christ, but they haven't taken his way. Jesus said, I am the way. He didn't say, take my name and stamp it on your life and then everything's good. He said, I'm the way. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So that means if I'm going to come to the Father, if I'm going to come to where the Father is, if I'm going to be saved, then I'm going to have to do more than just take the name of Jesus. I'm going to have to take his ways in my life. I'm going to have to learn how to behave myself with conduct and behavior in my life, whatever that means, in the way that Christ did. And to live my life the way that Christ lived his. See, now all of a sudden, whoa, wait a minute. This means so much more than just acknowledging that someone lived here named Jesus and he made a sacrifice. It's actually a way of life. It's a way I am to live that becomes uniform in the people of Christ. And by uniform, I don't mean, you know, that there's not little things that have to be done in our life. But we're all living the same way in terms of our attitude in life, in terms of our submission, in terms of our yielding, in terms of our acknowledging that it's someone besides me that has to have control of my life if I'm going to go to heaven. It's not me acknowledging something and doing my own thing, but I have to take the way, the path that leads to heaven. You know, if we look back at these verses, I want to just go through them a little bit. If we go back to the second verse, and I want us to think in this second verse about location. So, location. Where is it that we're going? Where am I going? If I asked that and I was wanting to get a verbal response, let me take a guess at what everything that would be said today, pretty much every mouth would open up and say, to heaven, right? I mean, okay, well, think about it. Is that where you're really going? Because you're not going where you decided you want to go, so to speak, in your mind, and you're declaring in the moment. You're going wherever the path you're taking in life is headed. That's where you're going. At work, a lot of times, you'll hear, you know, obviously I work with patients who don't remember things always, and we'll take off and we'll head somewhere, and they might say, where are we going? You know, because they really don't remember where the path back to the gym and back and forth. It's not clear to them. And I always like, I feel like God gave me a little response that I enjoy, and it's kind of a little laughter. I said, well, to heaven. And they're like, oh, no, I mean right now. Because obviously, we're, you know, yes, we want to go to heaven, but we're on a path that's leading somewhere, right? And this isn't, you know, the pearly gates aren't right here, so to speak. So where am I going right now? And so we'll talk about it. So, well, we're going to the gym right now because that's the path we're on. We're heading to the gym. This morning, what is the path you're on? Is it headed to the right location? Is it part of going to that location? Because as we go through life and we walk this path, just like the story of Christian, he came through many different spots. There's a song that says, this path may lead over many high mountains and valleys dark and low. But I walk each day with sweet assurance that I'll safely reach the goal. Because ahead lies peace and happiness and joy and contentment and forever. Basically, it's talking, I know where this path ends. I know what path I'm on. I know I'm on the path that leads to heaven. And there might be a lot of mountains, might be a lot of valleys. But I know because I've looked into it. I've pursued it. I've sought to make sure that I'm not just saying something, but I'm on the path I need to be on in life. And so what is the location that we're headed to? It says here, in my Father's house. Well, this word house here means abode. You know, this is his country. There is a country that we're heading to. There is a place we are going. It's called heaven. Y'all, that is our location. That is our goal. That is our mission. So you can't go two places. You can't pursue worldly things. You might walk through them. The path to heaven may lead you through places. But if your pursuit is after those things, as you come to those places in your life, your path will turn. If you forget what your goal is. If your goal in life is something to do with worldly ambitions, then as you come to those moments in your life where you're passing through those places, like Christian at Vanity Fair and I don't remember the story entirely. Maybe I should have mentioned, but one of them got turned off there. If your goal is, if you don't know your goal, if you don't know the place you're heading, the location you're heading, as you come to a place in life that your heart is set on, you're going to find yourself turning off in those directions. And you might still be carrying the thought that, well, I'm going to heaven. Well, thank God for good intentions, but they need to amount to something. And if you've not set your heart on what the goal and the location is, then you're going to get off the path in life. We need to set our hearts on the location. We need to drop the pen. Drop that pen on the map and click into it. And no matter where you're going in life, let that path lead straight to where that pen is. And when that pen needs to be in heaven. And it can't be there if our heart is set on things of this world. So we have to take our heart and get it off things of this world. And get it on the Lord. And get it on His kingdom where He is in that location. And said, in this place, there's many mansions. You know, this mansion's a specific residence. You know, there's something in it to me to think that there's a place for me. That I'm not just going there and... But the expectation is that I'll come and be in my place. You know, I have that expectation, but the Lord says He has that expectation for me. Now, understand what the burden of the message this morning. He is the way, but His expectation is I'll be there. I'm going to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions, all right? There's going to be a space. That word place is kind of like space. There's a space for you, set apart for you here in this place. You're wanted. You know, we go along, and one of the things pulls us off is we feel like, well, where am I wanted in life? You know, as a teenager, I remember struggling with that. That was one of my biggest struggles before I got saved. I kept wanting a place where people wanted me. I felt like the devil had me so twisted up. My parents loved me. And there's a lot of people who love me. But the devil had me so twisted up trying to find a place where I felt like I was accepted. And you know, one of the greatest things the Lord did for me when I got saved is I love everybody around me in a totally different way. But I had a place. I knew I was accepted in Christ. That there's a place for me. And that wasn't because God was like, well, this is just what you need, so I'm going to give this to you. He said it right there. I go to prepare a place for you. He didn't say Brandon. He said you. So that anybody who reads this knows He's talking about them. You read that scripture, now you know part of the way to heaven, part of the story of that is that Jesus is there preparing a place for you, a place where you belong, where you're meant to be. Oh, if you can just believe that, all these things in life that we're like, oh, I got to find some way to meet this need. No, when you get a hold of Jesus, and I don't know if I understood everything about it even today, but the Lord assured me in my heart, He said, there's a place for you. You belong here. This is where you belong. And that's why we feel that way, because that's where our home is. That's where our everlasting home is in heaven. That Christ is preparing for us. You know, another word I want to put up here for you to think about is intention. And not just anybody's intention, but Christ's intention. You know, we talk about being intentional, and that's something we need to be in life. One of the greatest tricks of the Satan is to get us to not be intentional, so he can just kind of take you here and there and wherever he wants to in life. We got to be intentional. But you know what? Christ is intentional as well. Very specific. And it says here in the third verse, it says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Prepare, return, and receive. Christ's intentions. He's like, this is what I'm going to... Look, I'm going to let y'all in on a secret. I'm not going off to sit in the sun somewhere and just have a good time until this all ends. I'm going somewhere. and I'm going to prepare that place for you. And if I do that, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to come back for you to receive you unto myself. You know, I can think a lot of ways to explain this to us in life, to share this with us. But I love coming home in the evenings. I love coming home. I love when I come home a lot of days. Now it's not just Amber, but there's maybe several people in the kitchen and they're preparing a meal. And I know we're all going to sit down and eat, but I mean, a lot of why they're doing it at the time they're doing it is what? It's that time I'm coming home. I'm coming home at that time, and now Isaac is too, and all everybody's kind of coming back together. So they're sitting there preparing something so that we can sit down and we can eat together. And that's just a small example of how good that feels to know this was their intention. I mean, they could easily be sitting over on a couch somewhere just relaxing and say, oh, hey, you showed up. Okay, well, wonder what we're going to do this evening, you know. But they've spent their time doing that. You know, the Lord could be sitting somewhere, just nothing. But his intention is that he's going to prepare a place for you. And he wants to come back and receive you. He wants to come back and you're ready to go. So he's not only preparing, he's like, okay, what are we going to have to do to get that one here? Okay, Holy Spirit, we might need to go down there a little stronger on them in this area. We might need to do this or that. You know, that's part, the main part of what this preparation is actually in us. He's building and he's working and building in us. And Lord, we're going to need to, Father, we need to send them a little more help here. Father, this is a rough time. Father, there's a lot of distractions right now. We need to really send some reminders to them. You know, the Lord is busy doing his part to get you there. It doesn't take rocket science. He's taking care of that part. It takes something much greater than rocket science. So he did that. He took care of that. Now, if you just let him, he's going to take care of all parts that are necessary to get you home. If you listen to him. If you recognize him as the way and you treat him as the way. Not just the name, but as the way to heaven. Lord, you are the way. Lord, why do I need to kneel and pray before I leave this house today? Why do I need to sit and pray? Why do I need to find somewhere to just get a moment and say, God, I need you today? Because he is the one who is preparing, returning, and receiving. I'm the package. The Lord is all the rest of everything. He will enable if I will stop and say, Lord, you are the way. I need you today to help me to know how to live the way you want me to let you prepare me in this day. Lord, this isn't my box. This isn't my life. This is you. And so, Lord, show me how you want me to live today. Open up your word to me. Open up what I've just read in your word, this verse. Open up how it applies. Lord, when things happen in my day today, Lord, let me take them back to you. You're the one that knows what needs to happen with those times. If it's as simple as in a moment saying, Lord, okay, help me right now to know what to do. Lord, help me to know how to handle this situation. That's his job. That's what he's doing. That's what he's saying right here to us. And we said, well, oh, I really had a rough day. And y'all, we might have rough days, but sometimes we have rough days because we just don't stop and say, Lord, help me. You know, we can come to the end of rough days a lot of times and we could have stories about things God did that day because we just took a moment to say, Lord, I need some help. And then we go on through the rough time. As we get through it, we recognize how God helped in that time, and he truly did. But we can also just go right through it, forgetting that Jesus is the way, that he's doing the preparation, the receiving, the returning and receiving. He's doing all of that. And we can forget that and get to the day and just simply say, it was just a rough day. Sometimes we feel that way, I know, even in the Lord. But I'm saying there's some spots we miss it because we don't treat Jesus as the way. And we don't recognize this part of what that means in life. That he's right there ready to intercede in a moment for us in a day. If we'll recognize him as the way and that this is his work. That's going on in my life. That's part of what the way means. is that we're letting Christ work, not just in thought or in theory, but in the moments, in the reality of my life, second by second, day by day, moment by moment. Remember how we read that verse in a message a few weeks ago? I don't actually remember when. How it meant from moments to moments, from occurrence to occurrence, that's where God wants to work in our lives. Okay? And that's what it means when we say Jesus is the way. So the third thing I want to write on the board is understanding. All right. In the fourth verse, it says, "And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Really? All right. I'm thinking about some things here. I'm thinking about how different ways we can take a trip, and if we're driving, different ways we can approach that. You know, when I was a boy, one of the things my dad taught me was, well, I remember sitting down when we'd start to head somewhere, he'd sit down with a map. He'd say, "Okay, here's the highway numbers we're going to drive." And dad would teach me that we're going to drive, we're going to be on this highway until we get to this place. So when you get to this place, what you need to do is start looking for your highway numbers. This other highway we're going to take, you have to start watching for them. And you drive and you take that highway then and you go that way. You know, there's still a lot of merit to that in life. There's a confidence we drive with when we can just know and look at signs and drive and, okay, okay, there's our road. We're going to turn on that road and we're going to go that way. I think, Hal, as you come down to our particular interchange there in Birmingham, if you're wanting to come down on 65 and you want to take off on 280, well, it's actually kind of hard if you've never done it before to follow one of the other options we're going to talk about, Siri or whatever map system you got, because it changes so quickly and you don't necessarily recognize the kind of environment you're going to be on, and your eyes almost have to be on it and you have to make that move over into the other lane quickly. And it might be 31 I'm thinking about. I think it's 280. Anyways, so there's a driving with confidence and clarity. I know the highways. I already know each one that's going to happen. And I know that if I watch the signs and I pay attention, I'll be, you know, getting there directly. Well, there's also driving with Apple or Siri. And there's actually merit to this too. Because it can tell you, hold on, there's a wreck over there. You need to go ahead and get off on this path and get around this way and go around that. Or it can tell you and remind you, you're this far from your turn. So there's a preparation it gives you as well. It's really good. And I was thinking how really combining those things is really what's best. If we go out on a trip and we know our highway numbers and we're watching for them, and we also got Apple on and it's telling us, wait a minute, there's a wreck here. You need to get off and go around this way. Or it's telling you, okay, you've got about this many miles until you're ready for your turn. We just have a lot more anticipation, a lot more that just adds to it and helps us, all right? And I really think a combination, and I think it's a good example, actually, of the Holy Spirit and us delving into the Word of God and putting those two things together in our life. I think that's something, if you think about, that really brings that out some of what the Holy Spirit does and what our delving into the Word does for us. You know, you also have the option when you're driving to do neither one of those things. How well does that work out? Yeah. That's definitely your own way. It's probably not going to end up where you're trying to go. You're not going to end up in the location you were desiring to be in. I mean, you really need both of them to really do the best job possible. But you need one or the other for sure. And to have neither one, not to have any attention to either one, it's not going to have you in the way that you need to go. And so the thought is with us in Christ, when it says he's the way, what are we doing? Are we in his word? Are we seeking to know more about what that means? Like I said, search it out. Scripture. I've got a whole list on my phone as I was studying. God just started dropping verses in my mind. And I was just copy and paste. If we read all those verses today, y'all would be here till tomorrow, I do believe. Or at least if we had a message on all those verses. All right? It's all in here. But he's the way. So if you're going to be on the right path, you're going to have to be looking into it. And you know what? He also, it is the absolute reality that he sent his Holy Spirit to work in your life. He is a living being, spiritual being, that is sent to work with each one of us individually in our lives as we are paying attention to what is read in here, to work with that in our life, to give us the best, safest, quickest, easiest path there is to get to where we're trying to go. This is part of what it means when it says Jesus is the way. All right? That was the example of his life as well. Okay? So, Lord, help us. What are we doing today? If you're not reading the Word, you're driving down the road and you don't know what highways you're supposed to take, and Apple is not on. Now, you just think about how close you're going to end up where you need to be. You don't even know where to go. All you can really kind of do is say, well, it's somewhere to the south, so I guess I'll head south. But hardly anything straight south, and hardly any road goes straight that way. You've got to not only know where you want to go, but you've got to know the path to get there. And so, Lord, help us to be taking part in that. And you know, I just want to close out with these last couple of verses here. It says, Thomas saying to him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But I want to focus on that where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know, I talked about Dad and about him sitting me down. And this was seriously one of the things I remember doing with him a lot. And going over the path. But there's places I can go in life that quite honestly, probably I can go without pulling out a map. I can go without turning on my Apple. You could go set me in Shreveport right now, and I could drive you to Paris, Texas. I'd never have to look at a map. You know why? Because I rode that path with Dad I don't know how many times in my life. That was one of our main paths. Whether we were going to Uncle Stan at Lee's or we were going up to Tulsa to see Joan, that was a path. They didn't quite diverge in Paris, but pretty much Paris is getting close to where they diverge, the two paths. I rode that path with him over and over and over and over. I can go now without a map, without Apple, and I could drive you right between there and do it every time. Why? Because I rode with him. I was around him. I was in the car with him. You know, the Lord is not dead. He is the way and the true life, and it's his desire to spend time with you. If you want to really be on this path and have the best knowledge possible that you're where you need to be, are you around him at all? And I don't just mean God is everywhere. We say that. We're talking about that personal time with the Lord. Are you spending time? Are you inviting him in your day? It's not hard. This isn't some specific ritual that you need to do this morning. Well, I mean, I guess you could almost say it was kind of in a way. You need to say, Lord, like I said one time, driving back, actually up there near Paris, not quite in Paris, but heading back that way, I was by myself in my car, and I just said, Lord, will you please just come and sit here right beside me? I just had such an overwhelming desire that the Lord would just be there with me. I made and I gave him the opportunity to just be with me. The radio's off. You know, there's nothing else going on, Lord. Will you come just sit here beside me? You know, the Lord came. That's one of the most precious times I remember with the Lord. He came down and he spent time with me. Assurance. I know I'll safely reach my goal. Why? Because I've been around him. I've been with him. I've given him time in my life. You know, that's what still today gives me assurance to stay on this path and helps me, is to say, Lord, shut everything off for a while. Say, Lord, I've got time. Will you come be with me right now? Let this time be about you. We are in an age where there's so many opportunities to introduce something else into those moments in our life. Do you think that's by accident? No. Look, everything is not Satan in and of itself, but Satan uses things in our life. And there are so many things at his fingertips today to take up those moments. But there are things that we can know that we're never going to know if we don't shut it off and say, Lord, will you just come be with me right now? While I'm doing this thing, while I'm working at this, while I'm in this moment in my life, will you just come be here?
Yeah.
He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
True.
So let's be encouraged this morning. Let's ride with Jesus on this path to life because he is the way. Pray for me. Thank you.